Okay, open your Bibles up to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and we'll continue on with our study on answered prayer. And this truly is, I mean, this is your bird nest on the ground for answered prayer. When you really just get this in your heart, you got it. I mean, you're going to get answered prayer. You break it down and look at all the things we've looked at. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, we talked about that, and we talked about getting the Word of God in our mouth, in our heart, and in, back in the atmosphere, returning God's word to Him. You know, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And also said, you shall, whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, cast into the sea, shall be done unto you. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen for us in prayer. Now, here's the thing. We started talking about praise. See, it's vitally important to go ahead and pray the word of faith and get that seed planted firmly in the ground. And it seems like that's where people stop. See, we're yoked with God, with Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you. You know, we're walking hand in hand with Him. Now, there's an attitude. There's some people that like to sit back and think that God's going to do everything. And then there are some people that like to think that they're going to do everything. And both of those are just foolish thinking. We're in this thing together with God. Now, getting the prayer out there, getting that seed sown, that word of faith, that's a really strong start. But go back over here to Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. See, strength and praise are the same. According to the word of God, God ordained praise to stop Satan in his tracks. Now, unbelief is the only way Satan can stop you. But you must keep the pressure on. See, as far as God is concerned, His word is established. And when we take His word and we apply it to our problem, as far as He's concerned, it's yes and amen. And it's established. It's a done deal. What are we going to do with our little garden that we just planted? I mean, people have a terrible habit of getting, they do all the right things. They get in the atmosphere of praise and faith. And they get partnered up with people and they pray the word of faith. And they do a great job at getting that in their garden. And then they go about their day with the rototiller tearing that seed up with the words of their mouth. People pull their own garden up constantly. And then they wonder why God didn't answer their prayer. We tore our garden up. It wasn't God's fault. It's what the words of our mouth. See, when we understand how important the words of our tongue really are, we'll start getting that thing under a leash. We will start training that thing to say what God says. Now, you keep the pressure on Satan through praise. Look at Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. It says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. So right there, he's talking about battling his enemies with praise of God. You know, there's more emphasis on people battling the enemy with the Word of God, and that's important to do. But he just sat right there and said, praise. You know, in fact, one time Israel was confronted by a terrible enemy, and they didn't really know what to do, and they were scared, and they asked God, and he said, don't worry about it. Send a praise and worship team out there. Now, doesn't that sound, you know, God makes perfect sense every time, you know what? Wouldn't you want to go get your biggest, toughest soldiers and send them out there in front? Well, naturally, we would. But God said, send the praise and worship team out there. And it took them several days to haul the plunder off, and they didn't have to pick up a sword. See how powerful praise is? See, here's one thing. When we focus on something, it's going to get bigger and stronger in our minds. So we get this problem, and it's natural for us to start thinking about this problem. I mean, we got a bill to pay, or we got a sickness, or we got a pain in our body, or we got a kid running around being an idiot or something. There's, you know, the problems that people end up facing, you know, they're never ending. The devil, he's relentless. He's going to put problems in front of people. But what happens is people, they focus on this problem and they get zeroed in there, and then pretty soon that's all they think about is that problem. And the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and they have all these wild ideas on how they're going to solve this problem, and then it fails and then things are really worse. When God said to praise Him, what happens? Well, you get your mind, when you start praising God, you get your focus off of your problem, and you get your focus on God, and you start praising Him, and then guess what happens? He gets bigger in your thinking, and your problem gets smaller, and He can download the answer to you right there. How many of you have ever been faced with some huge, life-changing problem, only to find out that there was a simple answer and a simple solution to it? A lot of times. I mean, sometimes I've looked at some of these problems and I think, how could that be so easy to fix? You know, I think Keith Jarrett probably summed it up best for me. Now, I'll always remember this. He said, I've been through a lot of traumatic experiences, and most of them were just in my mind. Isn't it funny how our mind will just go plumb squirrely if we let it? Well, see, the devil has access to our mind. He doesn't have access to our spirit, but he does have access to our mind. I really liked it when I finally figured out that When we, right at that particular time when we think we're just thinking, we're actually listening. So we need to pay attention to who we're listening to. See, if it's a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we need to stop listening to that thought. Look at Psalm. Chapter 22. Verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. See, God inhabits the praises of his people. You know, we always want God in the middle of our problems, don't we? Better. One of the fastest ways to get him right in the middle of what you're dealing with is through praise. Most everybody will say the fastest way to get God involved in your problems is prayer. Well, prayer is great, but praise would be a really good place to start. See, he did not say if you praise God. He said when you praise God. He's right there. In praise. In praise. Not in whining and complaining. See, there's the... You ever notice everything has an opposite? You know, a lot of times when people get attacked with a problem, one of the first instincts they have is to start whining about it and complaining about it and griping about it. Well, whose words are you using when you're whining, griping, and complaining? Not God's. Well, we don't want the devil mixed up in our problems. He's already had enough influence. So we want to go to the opposite. We want to get into the praise. Get God in the middle of our problems. Our problems will vanish. We may have to be a little bit hard-headed. We may have to stay there. We may have to praise God for a while. You know, Oop Schroeder said he crushed his foot. And he prayed the word of faith over that foot. And he praised God for 8 years for that healing. You know, a lot of times our healing happens really fast. Sometimes it might happen a little later. But I know this much for sure. If we give up or don't do it the way God suggests we do it, it's going to take a lot longer than it probably should. And it might not even happen. If we decide not to participate with God's playbook, then we may not get the answer that we were seeking. You know, a lot of people don't get answers to prayers because they don't do it the way God tells them to do it. They may say the prayer perfectly in church. They may say it really good. And then when they get out there, their tongue just goes wild. And they start talking about how afraid they are, how sick they are, how broke they are. See, the church has mastered the art of not cussing. But I want you to know something. Cussing is not cursing. I ain't saying go walking around cussing all over the place. But here's the thing. I've known people that didn't say a cuss word hardly ever. But they went from one cursing place to another. They cursed their kid. They cursed their job. They cursed their pickup. They cursed their neighbor. They'd say one bad thing right after another to them or about them. That's cursing. Those are the words of your mouth. With the words of our mouth, we either bless or we curse. There's some really good-hearted people. And some of them actually get kind of mad when you tell us, start speaking the word of God over your situation. Start claiming the promises of God. And they say, that's that name it, claim it stuff. I say, well, yeah. Yeah. How did you get born again? See how the devil muddies the waters up on a lot of important stuff? You know, he gets something that is really important for people, and then he finds a way to get people to look at it negatively. You know, there's people that get mad if you walk around confessing the word of God. You know, there's people that get mad if you talk about prosperity. But we'll get God right in the middle of our problems. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So right there, we're giving thanks to God. That's the fruit of our lips. But did you notice that he said, we offer up the sacrifice of praise. Now, there's something about a sacrifice that's not always comfortable. You know, I'm sure maybe you've heard about in baseball where they sacrifice one runner to get another one home. It means that sacrifice is going to cost you something. See, it's really, you know, most of the times when I hear this, we offer up the sacrifice of praise, it's in a song, you know, and we're all in church and we're shouting hallelujah and everybody's happy and good. But what he's talking about is this sacrifice. It's when your arms are heavy and, you know, you don't feel good. Your challenges look insurmountable. You don't like what's going on. You know, you might say you're down in the valley and you just really don't feel like praising God and shouting hallelujah. That's the sacrifice of praise. That's when we really need to start praising God. You know, when things are really not looking good. It's easy to shout hallelujah when you're on top of the mountain and the sun's shining on your back. And the wind's not blowing in your face, and it's nice. But when you're not sure about what's going on, and you don't know the answer, and you got big problems, and you're down in the valley, and you're by yourself, and it doesn't seem like there's anybody standing with you, that's when you need to offer up the praise of God. That's the sacrifice of praise. It's not just when you feel like it. Matter of fact, I'd say more often than not, when you're offering up the sacrifice of praise, you really don't feel like praising God. And sometimes maybe the words might come hard. Open up the Psalms. If you had to, open up the Psalms 23 or open up the Psalms 91 and just read them back to Him. See, you don't have to be fancy. And actually, when you just read the Psalms right out of his book, right back to what he said, you're returning his word to him and you're praising him. Amen. Sometimes we make it just a little bit harder than it really is. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, verse 13. Luke chapter 17, verse 13. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto them, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." There was 10 people got a notable miracle that day. They got cleansed of leprosy. 10 of them got cleansed of leprosy. But one of them turned around and threw himself down at the feet of Jesus. And he got his fingers back. His buddies walked off cleansed. But he got his fingers and his ears and his nose back. See, on leprosy, your pieces fall off. Seriously. Pieces of your body fall off. Those guys, they got cleansed and the damage stopped. But this guy turned around and praised God and he got the damage reversed. He got his fingers back. He got restored. See the importance of praise. See, there's a lot of people that get in jams and God may deliver them, but then they don't praise Him. They could have gotten so much farther with praise. But maybe they got out of their wreck. But man, they could have gotten restored with praise. You know, there's a saying, people would get thrown in jail for drinking or drugging. You know, there's a lot of people that start praying when they're facing a lot of jail time. Well, some of them actually get answers to their prayers. They hit a home run and they get out of jail or whatever. And see, people are always at a crossroads. So then they get out of jail and then they say, "I dodged the bullet on that one," and they go back, do what they did, get their back in jail again. But some people get out and they say, "Thank you, God. You gave me a second chance." And they go do something about it and they praise Him and they go forward and they do great things. See, we're always at that crossroad of praying, getting an answer, and then thanking God for the answer and doing something about it, praising Him. Thank Him for the things that He does for you every day. You know, we fall heir to blessings. I mean, blessings can be something that can happen every day. Let's go to John chapter 9, verse 24. John chapter 9, verse 24. Said, "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear, wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. You know, see, there's people that take that verse completely out of, they just take that verse and run with it. There's a whole denomination built on that verse almost. They don't hear the prayer of sinners. Well, if he doesn't hear the prayer of sinners, how did you get born again? But I've seen a lot of cool things. Some of them are miracles. You know, people really get healed. We prayed for people in this church. We've never even got to lay eyes on them in the natural. We might have seen pictures of them on Facebook, but we prayed for them in agreement, and they lived. And there's an interesting thing about religious people. I call them the religious mafia. If you talk to them, or they find out about you praying for somebody and they got healed, or maybe a miracle happened or something happened, they say, you didn't do that. I didn't say I did. Jesus did. See, they're always going to try to find a way to drag you down in faith. See, when people step out in faith and they start doing things according to God's word and doing things by faith, it's going to make religious people mad. So just get used to it. But don't worry about it. Just keep doing it. Just keep going. You know, they can play church all they want. As long as you're being the church and going out and doing things the way he said to do it, don't worry about what they say. They're always going to try to tear down what God did through you. Because evidently, there's something about the word of faith that really bugs a lot of people. They want to go to church. They want to shout hallelujah. They want to say they agree with the whole word of God. They preach the full gospel. But when it's time to do full gospel stuff and do the word of God, there's a whole bunch of pages that they back away from. As long as you understand full well 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and you understand that whatsoever you shall ask in the name of Jesus, and he will do that, you're unstoppable. And the cool thing is, you know, we go out there and we do this just to help mankind. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Be a service to somebody else. You know, people, for some reason, there are some people that want to do it for money or fame or whatever. And that's just not going to work. But we go out there and do it. You know, Jesus did a lot for us. You got to admit, he did a lot for us. When we got born again, he did a lot. So we can go out there and do stuff for him. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you that you do inhabit the praises of your people. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit is always here to help us with our infirmities, so we don't have to worry if we're praising just the way we think we're supposed to. But when we get our hearts pointed towards you and we start praising you with your word, that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are going to make it just perfect. And that you're going to take care of the rest. And we praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.